This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday as we welcome you in to Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Keith Irizarry, Stormy Bonantoni with you over the course of the next 2 hours. And we are quite literally coast to coast today, Keith. I am not in Las Vegas at Circa like I usually am. I'm in Los Angeles, downtown, getting set for the NHL draft, which will be coming up tomorrow. And you're in NYC, so we are like truly spanning the country today.
You know, it's sometimes that's nice, right? We're covering, what, 3,100 and something miles, and I hope everyone enjoys. Yeah, it'll be a nice little road trip.
Although I gotta say, your background looking much nicer than mine. I don't know what's happening here. This is the only place I could really set up my stuff, and the light looked so ridiculous that I'm trying to cover it up with the curtain. We got on, and Keith said, blink twice if you need us to send help. We're figuring it out, okay? This is life on the road sometimes.
You know what's cool, though, is the fact that we can do this, right? So, like, I'm not trying to sound like the old guy in the room, but I'm older than you. Like, it's just cool that we can still do this show 3,000 miles away. You're getting ready for a different gig. You're in a hotel room or whatever it is, and you can do this. And I can, you know, be in New York, and we can still have a solid show. We're going to dominate this. I don't know if you knew that. This is going to be the greatest show in the history of VSiN.
Obviously, and ideally continue to win some bets. I gotta say, I was pretty impressed yesterday with the total bases and hits, runs, RBI props that you were coming through. I know we didn't have the same luck with the home runs as we had earlier this week,
right?
But another efficient day running the bases for you. I went 1-1 yesterday on my like game side total pick, so 4-1 for the week there. And oh, how about your under in Pirates Brewers coming through yesterday? Because
yo,
for anybody who missed this game, Paul Skeens and Jacob Mizorowski were all of the talk about how like this pitcher's duel, these young studs, all of the stuff. Paul Skeens ends up giving a 4 spot in the second, and you still cash your under 6.5.
Yeah, when the four runs came across, I'm like, all right, so this is done. I actually stopped paying attention to it. I'm not going to lie. Like, I totally went about my day, paying attention to it. Yeah, and then I remember, I'm like, let's just check and see what's going on. So I went and checked. I'm like, wait, it hit. We're good. And I texted both you and Brian right away because, you know, that's what you do when you hit your bet. And when you lose it, you just ignore everybody and act like no one's trying to reach you.
Just pretend it didn't happen. It's fine. Mizorowski, by the way, in what was just his third career start, 5 innings, gave up just 2 hits, no runs, 8 strikeouts, 3 combined starts. Now he's 3-0, 1.13 ERA, 19 Ks. He's been awesome, and it's not often that you see Paul Skeens outdueled, let alone by another 23-year-old, but 2 23-year-old studs, which is a good segue to get us started with our rundown for the program today because we've got a lot of MLB on deck. So, producer Brian, if you would, hit us with what's on deck.
It's time for the top headlines and topics of the day. This is the rundown.
So, I don't know about you, Keith. I didn't particularly love the MLB card today, but as we hit number 3 on our top 3 items we're going to get to today on Money Moves, do you approve this move, MLB edition, looking at a handful of these lines and totals that are on the move today? And I think that maybe you didn't love it from a side total perspective, too, considering how many props you're angling toward once again today.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, I don't typically go sides and totals anyway. So, like, I tend to look at this baseball board, I mean, all boards, but baseball was really, like, my wheelhouse for this. I look at it differently. So I take a look, pitcher, cool, I want to attack that guy. Now let me take a look at the lineup. All right, this guy is doing this, and this. Now let me see what he's done against this pitcher. And I work it that way. So I actually kind of like this card. I found a bunch of props that I was interested in, so I'm kind of okay with it.
Okay, we're going to be counting on you then today. Number 2 in our top 3, like I mentioned, the NHL draft. We'll be getting underway tomorrow, Friday afternoon in LA at the Peacock Theater. Matthew Schaefer, the projected number 1 overall pick, but he's just a $3 favorite, which is very different than the prices we had in the NBA draft at the top yesterday, which we'll get to in a moment. Craig Button, TSN hockey analyst, director of scouting, former NHL general manager. He's going to hop on with us in about 30 minutes to break it all down. We've also got a big UFC card to get to for the weekend. Britton Hess is going to join join us in the second hour of the program. International Fight Week's coming up, UFC 317. But let's not bury the lead here, Keith, because our top item of the day, to the surprise of no one, the kid from Duke, he goes number one overall. Cooper Flagg, as expected, is headed to the Dallas Mavericks. Nico Harrison getting his gift from God in the form of a ping pong ball. And because I mentioned Matthew Schaefer in the NHL draft being $3 favorite, Flagg, before the books took down the option to bet him number one overall, he was, yes, minus 20,000 at one point, but he closed like minus 100,000. Last night was a coronation more than it was a pick.
Yeah, plant your flag. It was pretty obvious that Cooper Flagg was going to go there. I thought the lead up was great. The hype videos were great. You know, you mentioned it yesterday on the show. It's always fascinating when it's not a if this person is going there. It's just we're waiting until his name is said. And for frame of reference, it seems like Schaefer is in the same boat for hockey. Like, it would be surprising if he wasn't there. But Cooper Flagg, we've kind of always knew he was going to be number one. The whole top 10, like, there was money be made. Like, if you believe that Yegor Demon was going to go in the top 10, you made some money there. The Ace Bailey situation was interesting, too, because we talked about it. It looked like he could have gone 4 to the Hornets. He could have gone as low as 8 to the Nets. He didn't appear to be that happy with where he did end up going at number 5 and heading out to Utah. There were a few players that, like, when they got drafted, did not look ecstatic about the place they're going to end up in. And I laughed a few times.
There's a certain word that was said and a head that was hung.
We're not going to use that one.
I was hoping that was maybe, like, I was trying to play it in my head as if it was a bleep, I just got drafted in the NBA as a positive. But I think we all knew what that was. The Ace Bailey thing, though, was kind of hysterical because he did everything he could to basically not get drafted to Utah. He turns down the workouts. Didn't matter. Just said, sorry, you're the best guy on the board. We're taking you. Also fascinating to me, and I know you love college basketball as much as anyone, too, the fact that two top 5 picks in the NBA draft come from Rutgers, a team that didn't make the NCAA tournament this past year. I remember previewing the college basketball season, like, wow, Rutgers could probably be pretty dang good this year. They can't even make the tournament with two top 5 picks.
Yeah, two excellent players, and I think that both are going to be really good. I also thought one of the cool storylines, too, was Utah. Like, Austin Ainge is now in Utah, and Ainge clearly, you know, the tree of his father. It was a lot of, like, I'll use what you just said, bleep you moments. So it was, all right, so Ace Bailey, we think you're the best player. We're taking you. We don't care. It looked like Miami was locked and loaded to draft Walter Clayton Jr. And Utah decided, no, we're going to take him now, and you're not going to get him, and he'll be with us. Which, by the way, I think that Walter Clayton Jr. sneakily could be one of the best players in this draft. He's got Steph Curry, like, style to him. A little bit of a late bloomer. Thought he was going to be a college football player. Ended up, you know, going to Iona. Late bloomer as a basketball player. I think he's going to be awesome. Obviously a national champion. Yeah, those were some of the cool storylines. And come on, Malawach. I'm in love with this, the story of him telling his story. I watched the videos, Stormy, of it was him and Cooper Flagg and Con Knepel, and he acted like he was doing the announcements. He's like, and number 2, Cooper Flagg. Like, he did all that, and then he did himself, too. It's a weird spot in Phoenix, right? Because now they trade for Mark Williams. Like, DeAndre Ayton is there, and Malawach is there. It's a lot of 6'11 to 7'2 players. I hope he doesn't get buried there.
Yeah, I'm curious what that's going to look like. I on the surface when it happened, because as you mentioned, yeah, they get Mark Williams in a trade with the Hornets after sending the number 29 pick and a 2029 first to Charlotte. They take Malawach, as you mentioned, at 10, who they got in the Rockets trade for KD. And you have, yeah, two big men that you add to that roster in 24 hours. But after what was such a guard-heavy lineup with Devin Booker and Bradley Beal and Jalen Green, like, I kind of like that they're giving themselves options and that they're giving themselves a big man, a couple big men, to see what that'll look like. A couple things. I feel like we did kind of gloss over the top 5 real quickly just to react to how that went down. Flag, of course, goes one to the Mavs. The Spurs at two get Rutgers guard Dylan Harper. He went off at like minus 10,000 to go two. So it was very obvious where one and two were going to go. VJ Edgecombe, guard out of Baylor, goes three to 76ers. Con Knipple, who you just mentioned, another Dookie, goes four. And then Ace Bailey goes five. But I actually kind of liked what the Suns did, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I like it. I'm just a little bit afraid that Maluaj could get a little bit buried there. We'll go back to the top five. We'll go back to VJ Edgecombe too. Great story from him as well, talking about how, you know, him and his brother and his mother for many, many years were living off a generator in the Bahamas, where it was like literally they were, you know, check to check and worried about whether they could pay their electricity. And now they have their reality here, where when VJ was there for the post-game interview on television, his mother was crying so much that she couldn't even speak. And yeah, he was just hugging her. And like, as a, you know, as a person, but also as a parent, like, that definitely like rips at your heart core, your heart cords. Is that right? Did I say that correctly? Yeah. Like at your heart, where you're kind of like, heartstrings. Thank you very much. You're the best teammate ever. Heartstrings. Yeah. Like, it pulls at them and you're like, ah, how cool is that? Yeah. Like, just so many dreams became reality last night. That's part of, yeah, as I'm getting older, one of the things I pay a little bit more attention to.
Yeah, that's the best part of the draft, is getting to see these kids, things that they've worked so hard for and dreamed of since they were a little kid, playing pickup ball on the court with their brothers or siblings or parents or friends, you know, finally having that dream become a reality, 100%. Not all of those interviews are created equal, though, you know. Some awkward moments last night as well. It happens. We will be right back. We're just getting started here on Money Move. So much more fun to come. Do you approve this move, MLB Edition, coming up next?
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Let's see where the odds are moving today, and do you approve this move?
All right, welcome back to Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 158. He's Keith Irizarry. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. You heard it off the top. Time for Do You Approve This Move? We're going MLB edition today. Short card, just nine games, and a handful of these money lines and totals on the move, Keith. So let's start here with our biggest money line mover of the day, Marlins and Giants. San Francisco opened around minus 170, minus 175. Currently out to a consensus minus 190. Total also ticked down from 8 to 7.5 in some shops. Hayden Birdsong versus Jansen Junk. So we've definitely got the all name game going on here. But do you approve this move in favor of the Giants?
I do. The San Francisco Giants are clearly the better team, right? So everything would tick towards them being the play here, and that's why it would move that way, unfortunately, for the bettors out there. It's not, you're not getting the better value at all. Just quickly trying to pull something up on my screen. There it is. All right, so yeah, I approve of the move. I don't have a lot more to say about it. Yeah, I approve.
No, you're good.
And I didn't have. I also didn't have any player props in this one either. So I didn't have any player props in this one.
You're good. Yeah, we're going to cruise through a couple of the ones that have moved the most, and then we'll get to somewhere. I know you have other wagers as well. But Birdsong, just to wrap this one up, coming off, I know, a tough start against Boston, but against the Marlins lineup earlier this month, gave up just one run, 5 hits, 5 1/3 innings. So somebody that I know people would like to back in this spot as well. Phillies, Astros, Houston getting some love in the market here as well. A slight tick up, minus 130 up to minus 145 some spots. Best pitching matchup of the day. Hence the move on this total as well, down from 7.5 to 6.5. But you got a Cy Young candidate in Hunter Brown going for the Strohs, Christopher Sanchez for the Phillies. I am on the under for this game, but I approve of this move to Houston. Do you?
I do. This is a pitcher's day, right? Sanchez has been fantastic, a 2.87 ERA on the season. And you mentioned Hunter Brown. I mean, my God, right now he could be your Cy Young. 8-3, 1.88 ERA in the American League. And you look at an Astros team that's won 16 of 22 games in the month of June. They lead the majors in both winning percentage and ERA this month. A 3.43 ERA is fifth in Major League Baseball. So pretty darn good.
Yeah, and you mentioned Brown's ERA for the season. That number, 1.88, gets even better at home. 1.19 ERA over his six starts in Houston this year. So there you go. Cubs, Cardinals, slight move against Chicago here from minus 137 to minus 130. Shota Imanaga back from the IL. How deep will he go? Reasonable question. The bullpen also hasn't been great lately. Andre Pallante going for the Cards. Cubs do crush left-handed pitching, though. Fourth in OPS, fourth in slugging against lefties. No real opinion on this game for me. Do you think that that move sounds right? Again, it's a slight move. It's a 7-cent move, but do you approve?
Yeah, it didn't really move the needle that much for me. It's fine. Yeah, Imanaga, opponents are 2-for-27 with runners in scoring position against Shota. So depending on how long he goes is how many runs might be scored in this game. Like, I would back him if I knew that we could get 6 innings out of him. I'm just not sure if we can get six innings out of him on his day back off the IL with the hamstring strain.
Exactly. And that's my hesitation, too. 2 months is a long time in coming back from a hamstring. I just didn't feel confident enough. So that game ended up ultimately being a stay away for me. I know Braves Mets is one you had interest in. Mets got theirs yesterday, 7-3. I kind of like Atlanta today. Grant Holmes, 10 Ks per nine, probably deserves better than the 4-6 record he has. Mets got Griffin Canning going. He's given up 4+ runs in 3 straight and 4 of his last 5 starts. Atlanta went from an even money dog out to minus 110, and you're getting that both ways here. Do you agree with the move?
Holmes is probably the better pitcher. You're right. Like, just 4-6 doesn't feel great for him, but the 3.71 ERA, and Griffin Canning has been bad as of late. Like, he literally doesn't look like he belongs in that pitching rotation, but the Mets don't really have another option. Matt Olson, the on-base streak has now reached 26. Acuna's at 21. Both of those guys are really flexing their muscles. Speaking of flexing their muscles, Ronald Acuna Jr. announced he's going to be in the home run derby, so that'll be fun. Wouldn't be surprised if he goes yard today. I don't know if you want me to. I don't know if we're doing Acuna plays yet, because I do have one there for you. All right, so I'll give you my Ronald Acuna play. So I think that Acuna, there's a few ways to play him. We're actually starting to see him run a little bit. I'm still leery of a stolen base prop on him, so we're not going to do that. What we are going to do on Acuna is we're going to go total bases. And the fact that I was able to get even money at, you know, for Ronald Acuna Jr. made me very excited. He has been 2 or more bases, 4 of his last 6 games. 2 or more bases, 10 of his last 15 games. I mentioned the on-base streak at 21. And Griffin Canning, for all that he was early in the year, has given up 4 or more runs in 3 consecutive starts. So you kind of got to back Acuna. I think you could look at Olson as well if you wanted to. I like Acuna better just because of the price there at even money.
You got to say it right. Acuna Jr. You got to have fun with it. Come on.
Wait, you want me to Massachusetts this? You want me to New Hampshire this?
It's just
Acuna Jr.
Is it not such a fun name to say? Come on, don't do me like that. I think it's a fun name to say,
but I also think it's a scary name to say sometimes, because you could do like Ronald Acuna, then you do like you just can't get all the words out. Ronald Acuna Jr.
I don't know. I think that sounds like a you problem, Keith. But I do like the play on him today.
That was not nice.
Braves F5 might actually be the angle I end up taking on this game later. Just take the bullpens out of it. How about Blue Jays Guardians move toward Cleveland? So when we made this graphic earlier, it opened minus 115, and about 45 minutes ago, it was minus 126. I'm looking at minus 136 now. So everybody coming in on the Guardians today. Do you approve the move?
I like the Blue Jays today, actually. I feel good about them. Oh. Yeah, so I might go with the dog there. I'll go Blue Jays. I also think, and you know, like wash, rinse, repeat, it's simple. I told you yesterday, when Vladdy is on a heater, you ride with him till he's no longer on that heater. So we hit the prop yesterday. Did we do total? I think we did total bases yesterday. Total bases yesterday on Vladdy. Hit that one. It's total bases again, plus 120, career versus Bybee. Like, you go, okay, Tanner Bybee's a good pitcher, but Vladdy actually sees him well. 4-for-8, that's a .500 batting average, has a home run, 2 or more bases, 6 of his last 8 games. I'm all in on Vladdy, and if this game wasn't starting shortly, he would have been in my best bets.
Oh, okay. Love to see it. Yeah, that's a good reminder. We will do best bets, of course, at the very end of the program later on today, but cruising through as many as we can. A's and Tigers. Tigers opened minus 164 favorites. Now I am looking at consensus around minus 150 right now. So like came back up, got as low as minus 145, but it looks like A's getting a little bit of love here. Do you agree?
You know what? Jeffrey Springs hasn't been bad. So, like, I'm not probably going to ever bet on the A's. Like, they're not a team I'm looking at, especially when you're playing against the Detroit Tigers. They're 50 wins on the season. And Dietrich Enns, like, I don't really know that much about him. He's getting promoted from the AAA. He's 34 years old. First time in the majors since, what, 2021? So, like, you'd lean towards he could struggle. Sure. Like, Springs is 6-5, 4.24 ERA for an athletics pitcher. It's fine. I think the love for the A's makes sense.
How about Mariners Twins here as we hit one more? Minnesota opened around minus 125, but Seattle taking a little bit of money. I see Twins as low in the market as minus 116. Mariners from plus 107 to even money, minus 102 here. Do you approve the move in any place for you tonight? Or I guess this afternoon, morning?
Yeah, all those things. So the move is negligible for me. I have a play, though, in this one. So Brooks Lee, if you're not paying attention, is blazing hot right now. So slowly but surely went from the 9-hitter to the 7-hitter and has been batting in the 6th spot. I think there's a potential he can move even higher. So I think there's two ways to play this one. Safer play, over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs, it's minus 110. That's pretty nice. A little bit of the more dangerous, risky play would be the total bases over 1.5 at plus 135, so good value there. You actually could split your unit and do some math and actually make this work and play them both. Let's break down Brooks Lee. 3-game hitting streak. I told you about him moving up in the lineup, so you're getting more at-bats there. He's hit safely in 22 of the last 23 games in which he's had an at-bat. He's actually come in as a defensive replacement at times, too. Batting .348 with 3 doubles, 3 home runs over those 23 games, 2 or more bases in 3 of his last 6 games, and a partridge in a pear tree.
You'll love to see it. Those last 3 games, by the way, Mariners Twins, A's Tigers, Blue Jays Guardians are actually the first 3 that are on deck for us today. So at the top of hour 2, we'll do a deeper dive into all 3 of those and rehash those bets. A couple other just totals real quickly that are on the move for you. Blue Jays, Guardians, 8.5 down to 8. We mentioned the Astros total moving down from 7 to 6.5 as well. And then one going up, Rays at Royals, opened 9, ended up sitting at 10 where things sit right now. Okay, we got to take a quick time out when we come back. Getting into all things NHL draft, Craig Button is going to join us live of TSN Hockey. Don't go anywhere.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With last night's NBA draft in the rear view, we can now shift our focus ahead to Friday and the NHL draft set to get underway from Los Angeles, where I am on site as we welcome you back here to Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 158. Stormy Bonantoni with you alongside Keith Irizarry today. Excited to get into some of the marquee players, what we know, what we think we know, what we inevitably don't know, as Craig Button joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line, TSN Hockey Analyst, Director of Scouting, former NHL General Manager, been through many a draft. And Craig, before we get into some of these names that are on your board, I did want to ask you your thoughts on what they're calling this decentralized draft. First time we haven't had all the GMs and player personnel people on the floor. Is this something that you see, that you think we see continue beyond this year?
I hope it's not something we see beyond this year. The NHL has a very unique type setup with the draft, with everybody being on an arena floor, all the tables there, the players being with their family and friends, not sitting in some green room waiting to hear their name called and talking to a general manager in another city. Being able to come up, meet the people, meet the coach, meet the general manager, meet the scouting personnel, it really is special. And, you know, one of the things, when it was decided to do this, was the idea. Well, it's too close to free agency, and you know, our costs can be managed a little. Well, they're flying everybody into their own city, so the costs aren't minimized. And there's so much benefits by being together that aren't just about the draft. It's about getting contracts signed, you know, where you're at with respect to your restricted free agents. Free agency comes into it, setting the table, what you're trying to do. Because a lot of things that are happening at the draft with trades of players is clearing out money for free agency. How do you do that most effectively? By being all together. The agents have called out the NHL managers for saying, how dumb can you be to go along with this idea of a decentralized draft? And from my understanding, 31 of the 30 GMs voted for the decentralized draft. I am betting that none of them will admit to it, and we'll go back to a draft of how it was in years past as soon as next year. And I hope that's the case.
There you go. All right, so on the precipice of reaching the draft, though, looks like Matthew Schaefer going to be number one to the Islanders. What do you like about him, and what does he kind of project forward into the NHL?
I think he's a complete number one defenseman. I usually don't project number one defenseman. I'll say top pair. You know, eventually you might be able to. There's no question in my mind he's a number one defenseman. New York Islanders in 1973 drafted Dennis Potvin, who won four Stanley Cups, led them, and was a complete defenseman. I think Matthew Schaefer affords them the same opportunity. I compare him a lot to Drew Doughty. Drew Doughty was never the highest scoring defenseman in the league, but you couldn't argue that he wasn't one of the most important defensemen in the league. If you want to win, you want to be successful, you need important, complete defensemen. I think Matthew Schaefer is all of that and more. I think this is a no-brainer for the New York Islanders. There's only one reason they wouldn't take Matthew Schaefer at one, and that's because they're completely stupid.
Craig Button, TSN, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Okay, so Matthew Schaefer, we're sold on it. Number one, the San Jose Sharks have the number two pick, and Michael Misa is, for our betting purposes, a minus 300 favorite. Same thing for number three and number four. We have odds on favorites with Anton Frondell and Caleb Desnoyer. Do you think that we could see any shakeup there in the top five, though? Because looking at your draft, you have a different selection at five.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, this is kind of some of the uncertainty with the draft. I think at the outset of the show, you talked about things we know, things we think we know, and things we don't know. Yeah. And I think the things we don't know far outweigh the first two. And I say this often, you know, the team picking five, they don't know who they're going to pick. Like, and we project the draft and we say, okay, who could they pick? Who might be a good fit there? But they're going to have to wait to see what unfolds in front of them before they know decisively who they're going to pick. Do they have a group of players that they're looking at? Yes, certainly they do. Every team does. But and as you go deeper in the draft, 8, 12, 15, that uncertainty only grows. So when we look at it, Michael Misa, to me, when you look at his abilities, you look at his skill, what he's done to date and what he projects as, I mean, that's a highly skilled player. Anton Frondell, I call it the Barkov effect. We watch what Barkov did for the Florida Panthers, just simply outstanding. Desnoyer is a superb two-way center. And you start to get after that. I mean, Brady Martin's a good player. James Hagans is a good player. Jake O'Brien's a good player. Porter Martone's a good player. That's where it gets to be interesting. Last year's draft, we saw six defensemen go in the first 12 picks. It was Celebrini, and then six of the next 11 picks were defensemen. This year, there's lots of centers. And certainly Schaefer goes number one, and then there's a whole lot of centers. Where are they going to go? Where do the catalyst-type players with respect to Porter Martone and Brady Martin go? We've seen players that are important to winning get drafted early. I mentioned Brady Tkachuk. I mentioned Matthew Tkachuk. Brady was four. Matthew was six. Teams look at different things. So I don't think there's any question that the players that I just mentioned as well as maybe are going to go in the first 10, 12 picks. And I think we can say with certainty that these are the group of players that will go in the first 10, 12 picks. We just don't know what exact order.
Which is kind of fun, too. It makes this, I mean, from a betting standpoint, the handicapping this makes it a little bit more difficult, but it's kind of fun. Let's double back to James Hagan. So going into, you know, last year, it was believed that he was going to be the number one guy. Cards on table. I'm in New York. A lot of people from New York wanted Hagans to go to the Islanders. It's not going to happen at number one. How do you kind of view Hagans on the NHL level?
I think he's a really good player. When you take a snapshot in a moment in time, you're dealing with what you know at that moment in time. And there's a lot of players that haven't emerged, that haven't really taken their games up to a level that where you can say with confidence, okay, this player should be in this area of the draft, or this player projects as this type of player. James had already shown that, and he shouldn't be penalized for showing promise at an earlier age. But at the same time, other players develop, mature, and then they get into the conversation. And that's what's happened here. James is a really good player, and I don't think there's any question about it. But other players have shown that maybe a little bit more potential. I mean, we're talking about thin margins. We're not talking about wide margins here. I think James can be a player like Nico Hischier of the New Jersey Devils. I think he's got a two-way game that's very similar to Nico. I think he's got an offensive game where he can contribute. And I think once he gets to that physical maturity and gets a few more years under his belt of growth, that he can be a really good player like Nico Hischier is for the New Jersey Devils. And he was the first overall pick. So was Jack Hughes. They're two very different players. If you ask the New Jersey Devils, they'll tell you that neither one of them are less important to the success of their team.
Craig, every year I feel like there's a player or two that surprises, whether that means they fall from where initially a lot of folks thought that they might go, or they rise up and a team maybe unsuspectingly ends up taking them higher than we anticipated. Is there a name or two that stands out to you as maybe a surprise or an upset candidate one way or another?
Yeah, well, I think the ultimate wild card in this year's draft is Roger McQueen. Roger McQueen had a back injury. He missed a lot of games. He's a 6'5" very skilled, in my view, a number one center at the NHL level. It wouldn't surprise me if he went 4. It wouldn't surprise me if he went 12. And I think that type of a player, and I think it comes on the heels of Caden Lidstrom, who was the 4th overall pick last year to the Columbus Blue Jackets. He missed a full season because of a back injury. Fully healed. Everything is going to go in the right direction. But when you haven't had an opportunity to watch players as much, you might not have the same level of confidence. And I'm not even talking about the medical reports. I think everybody was satisfied with Caden's medical report. Everybody's been satisfied with Roger McQueen's medical report. But when you get into the evaluation process, having more like conviction on a player, more confidence in a player, helps you be stronger in saying we want this player. And I think that's the only thing that works against Roger McQueen right now. Now somebody steps up and says, oh no, we have all kinds of confidence in him, and that's why I think he could go in the top 5. But at the same time, not having played as many games, lacking the number of games for the evaluators to see him, now may work against him and he may fall a little bit. I think whoever gets Roger McQueen is going to get a terrific player. And I think we'll be talking in a number of years of why did they get this player at this point in the draft if he does fall? If he does go high, oh boy, you might hear, oh, this might be a little bit of a risky pick. I don't think there's a risky pick in Roger McQueen. I think that he's a really, really gifted, really, really gifted player.
Craig, awesome spot. Fantastic insight. We really, really appreciate your time today. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Craig.
Enjoy the draft. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Craig Button, everybody, doing great work over there at TSN, former NHL GM. You can follow him on X at Craig J Button as well. We've got to take a timeout when we come back. Getting into a little NFL talk. Who might be the week one starter for these teams? We will be right back.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Football season is going to be here before you know it, ladies and gentlemen. And our all-new NFL betting guide comes out next week, Tuesday, July 1st. And early access means a better shot at spotting value in futures markets before the lines move. Now's the perfect time to come join us. We got our football special going on. Just $175 for you to get full VSiN Pro access today through the Super Bowl. So that's every sport we cover every day at this special early bird price. The sooner you sign up, the more you get out of it. You'll be first in line for the NFL betting guide, your playbook for the season packed with team previews, power ratings, and season-long bets. Plus, you'll get a daily best bets email from our expert hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows through the VSiN Watch app, full access to our VSiN.com analytics, tools, pro systems, anything you can think of. We've got it right now. Head over to vsin.com/subscribe. Lock in the football special for $175. Again, vsin.com/subscribe. And Keith, I tell people this all the time. The football betting guide that we produce every year is the most like time intensive and detailed document we put out all year. This is one of the best things there is. There are so many best bets in there. I have three that I wrote up. We have awards market breakdowns. It is worth it to be a VSiN Pro subscriber for the guide alone, let alone all of that other stuff that I just mentioned.
Yeah, what's cool about this network in general is that, yes, there are subscriptions, fine. Like, people have to pay for things, that's life. But, like, the value you get for paying for these things pays off. It is a betting network, and you are literally getting the writing of the bettors at this network. Like, it pays off, I promise you, it does.
So earlier this week when we were working together, we had in the rundown this NFL segment where we were going to talk about week one starters and all of this stuff. And then we ended up, it was actually nice that we had so much news that broke that day that we had to push it off to the side. But I think there are some bets to be made in this market. So I'm happy that we reassigned it for today and we can get back into it. And I mean, the Saints have a market up, the Browns, the Colts, the Giants one is kind of, I don't know who's betting in that one, but there are a few that are pretty worthwhile. So let's start here in the NFC South, because the New Orleans Saints have Tyler Shuck as a -310 favorite in this market. It's obviously been a very chaotic offseason for the Saints. They've got a new head coach in Kellen Moore. They find out Derek Carr is retiring because of the lingering shoulder injury. So what do? Well, they draft Shuck in the second round out of Louisville. They still have Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener, who both saw some time last year when Derek Carr was injured. Rattler +210, Jake Haener, who was injured through OTAs and mandatory minicamp, a 40-1 shot. So as you look at this, is -310, is that kind of, I don't know if reasonable is the right word for it, but does that sound appropriate considering the reps that he's getting and the spot that he was drafted?
Yeah, appropriate is the right word. Yes, Shuck getting -310, appropriate. Now, here's the deal. Tyler Shuck is extremely, extremely talented, but he is oft injured. So as a wagerer, or like as a bettor, if you're looking at the futures market, you have to at least have that in the back of your brain. So again, I will never root for injuries or anything like that, but would I be surprised if Shuck didn't make it through a preseason unscathed? So if you have that in the back of your brain, you know that Rattler has started games, you know that Haener can play. If you want to be in this market, you're not betting Shuck. You're betting Rattler at +210. And it's essentially, you're saying either Shuck gets injured or he is god-awful in the preseason. And I don't think it's going to be the god-awful part. So if you believe in injuries, Rattler could be a play.
What is your view on Spencer Rattler as a player
in the NFL?
He's
not an NFL starting quarterback.
Yeah. No, you laugh, but I think that's the right take.
Yeah, so he's a fascinating story too, right? Like, wasn't he on QB1 or whatever the show was, right? Like, he was on one of those shows. Then he was the number one guy. He was expected to be this great college quarterback. Showed some flashes, but never really materialized. Even in the NFL, like, there's this, like, little part of him where you go, I see something, but in general, it doesn't seem to be there. Now, from people I've spoken to, this is not my words. People I've spoken to, and they say it's up here. He doesn't have it up here. It's not that he's dumb, but there's a thing, like, as a QB,
there's a brain thing.
Yeah, there's a disconnect for him. Again, this is not Keith or Azari saying it. These are people that I know that cover the NFL, that are scout-level people. Luckily, you and I have some of these connections where we can talk to people. I'm not giving my sources here. They just say that he's not there. So that's the problem.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll see what ultimately happens as that quarterback competition goes on from a three QB competition to four in Cleveland. As, of course, the Deshaun Watson saga continues out there. He's dealing with the Achilles tear repair. The Browns made sure they loaded up with quarterback depth. They brought back Joe Flacco, who won comeback player of the year with the organization a couple years ago. Obviously, what he did with the team going to the postseason and all of that. Signed Kenny Pickett from the Eagles, drafted both Dylan Gabriel from Oregon in the third round and Shedeur Sanders from Colorado in the fifth. Flacco and Pickett have rotated with the ones most. And for the rookies, Dylan Gabriel has actually been ahead of Shedeur Sanders in the rotation. The odds, the way those play out, Flacco, your +110 favorite, Pickett 2-1, Dylan Gabriel 5-1, and Shedeur Sanders 7-1, as he's getting a little off the field trouble with the speeding tickets right now. If you're listening to Deontay Johnson, Kenny Pickett at +200 is the play to make here, Keith. He said, I think they're going to roll with Kenny for right now. And if for right now means week one, then +200 isn't a bad bet.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Flacco. I do. I think Flacco's there for a reason, not just to, yeah, I don't think he's there just to be a mentor, because he admittedly said he's not there to be a mentor. I don't think he signed on for that. Now, listen, I think anything could happen. I think that Flacco or Pickett, one of those two will be the starter. I think you're throwing your money away if you bet on Dylan Gabriel, and you're throwing your money away if you're betting on Shedeur Sanders. Now, if you wanted to wager, if there's a way to find, will Shedeur Sanders start a game by week eight? Like, if that was a thing that you could find, sure, bet on that. I think there's an opportunity there. But the way the Browns are running this, they're telling you what's going to happen. It will be Flacco or Pickett, you know, Super Bowl winners, both of them. And then the next opportunity will be Gabriel before Shedeur Sanders. Sanders was drafted where he was drafted for a reason. Most teams did not believe he can be a day one starter. And I don't think that he showed that he can. I also don't think he's going to get the opportunity. I know that, like, I had a buddy of mine, Stormy, tell me, well, you know, I saw the videos and he's making every completion. Yeah, but he's getting 12 snaps. Like, he's not going to get the chance to showcase his abilities yet. He won't be the week one starter.
If there's one thing we know about the Browns, though, it's whoever is the week one starter isn't going to be the week 17, week 18 starter, because I was going through. So in the last 4 years, there have been 12 different guys who have started games at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. 12. Is that not insane? Like, and listen to some of these names. You might have forgotten some of them. Or even Bailey Zappe started a game last year. Jeff Driscoll, PJ Walker, Nick Mullins, Case Keenum, DTR, Jameis Winston. Like, and we're still talking, like, Baker 4 years ago. So this organization has a lot of problems. They are all centralized around the quarterback position. And we'll see what this year's bridge or gap or whatever you want to call it ends up being, because you take two quarterbacks in the draft this year, and I don't really hear anybody talking about either one of them being a true guy for the future. So it's crazy what they're doing. Let's hit one more last 2 minutes here. The Colts week one starter market. Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones seems like a two-horse race. Of course, Riley Leonard out of Notre Dame is also in 80-1 shot, right?
He's on the roster.
he's there, baby. Anthony Richardson has said that the injury issue that re-popped up isn't a big deal. But I don't know. I feel like if injuries are a problem and they're still not fully sold on Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones is a very viable week one starter, right? Like, I'm biased because I threw in that comeback player of the year prop on Daniel Jones. I think it could work for him. They brought in competition for Anthony Richardson for a reason. Whether it's right or wrong, it's real.
Oh, all right. So, and you know what, to steal your sentence beginning, maybe I am. So I'm in New York. Daniel Jones is an NFL QB. That's it.
He's bad.
I'm
he's
done.
He's bad at football, though.
So he's an NFL QB. That means he can play in the NFL. He is an NFL quarterback. If you are going into your season with Daniel Jones as your starting quarterback, get ready for the draft next year.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, listen, Shane Steichen has revitalized guys in the past.
No.
We just saw Daniel Jones get a little bit of experience under Kevin O'Connell. Maybe a change will do you good.
No.
New York is where, Danny at least
Penny
in recent history.
Danny Penny is not Danny Dimes.
At least in recent history, where quarterback careers go to die, okay? It hasn't been good lately. Maybe he can rejuvenate it somewhere else. We got to step aside. We're kicking off hour two next year on Money Moves.